Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Judges, chapter 7. Judges, chapter 7. We'll read verses 12 through 15 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Judges, chapter 7, verses 12 through 15. Judges, chapter 7, verses 12 through 15. We'll read this passage responsively. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it that the tent lay long. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream, and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel, and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here in this place. Lord, thank you for the host of men and ladies that have come who have served their country. Thank you that they would honor us with their presence. Thank you for the time and the effort they put into keeping us safe. Thank you for a church like this that keeps the homeland strong, a country worth saving. Father, please fill our preacher today with your power. Lord, may we have your presence. May we have your hearing today so that we would get what you have for us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, we will continue. I will preach a sermon to our people. Those of you that are guests, I think you will find something in it that will help you. The title of my sermon this morning is this, A Pancake that Won a War. A Pancake that Won a War. The Bible says in Judges 7, verse 13 and 14, And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian. First of all, let me say there is no way that a heathen nation can defeat a Christian nation unless God allows it to be done. In today's story, this passage of Scripture, the heathen nation of the Midianites, their army was defeating God's people. God's people had left God, and as a result of it, the Midianites were being rough on God's people. The Midianites had 50,000 tentfuls of soldiers in a valley. Above them on the mountaintop were only 300 Israelite soldiers. 300 soldiers on our side, 50,000 tentfuls of soldiers for the enemy. If you know anything about the history of this story, our army, God's army, the Israelite army, started out with 10,000 soldiers, but God led their commander, Gideon, to narrow down his troops all the way down to 300 soldiers. That may not make sense to you, but let me tell you something. God is not required to make sense to you and to me. That's what makes him God. Now, what's happening is you've got 50,000 tentfuls of the enemy, and you've got 300 soldiers of God's. The 300 soldiers are up on the mountain. The 50,000 tentfuls, and that's an innumerable number. They just couldn't figure out how many there were down in the valley. These Midianites, the enemy, they were stealing the crops of God's people. God's people were beginning to starve, and God's people cried out for deliverance, and they said, somebody's got to deliver us from these people. And God delivers them in a very, very unusual way. God tells Gideon that he is going to defeat those 50,000 tentfuls of the enemy with only 300 men. Brett, we're going to turn this microphone on here. Gideon, though, wanted God to show him some way. I mean, he kind of wanted to know, you know, when if you have 300 men and you're about to go against this unnumbered army, 50,000 tents alone, I would expect maybe four men to a tent. I don't know. There were a lot of them. Gideon said, God, I know you told me we were going to win, but I'm a little shaky about this thing right now. And I think you could picture that. Gideon, with one of his soldiers, decided to do this. They decided that they would sneak down from the mountaintop into the valley, and they would spy on the enemy a little bit. So it is Gideon and his sidekick. It is nighttime. They sneak into the enemy's camp, and they walk up to a tent. Shh. Be very quiet. They happen to hear two Midianites, the enemy, talking. Here's what had happened. It was in the night. These two Midianites had been asleep. One of them woke up. He had had a dream. He woke up to tell his dream to his fellow soldier. And these two spies, Gideon and his sidekick, they hear a somewhat crazy dream. Gideon actually hears his name mentioned. One of these soldiers, the enemy, says, and Gideon, and Gideon said, I heard my name. So he puts his ear a little closer to the tent. The soldier tells of the dream that he had had about this huge barley cake that had rolled down the mountainside and crushed their entire enemy. Now, I'll explain something to you. Barley cake, that barley was used for the poorer people. It would have been much like a pancake. Not a fluffy cake or not a fluffy biscuit. It was a flat cake. They would dig a ditch, and the way they would do this, they would dig a hole, put some stones in it, put some coal in it. They would take this barley meal, they would put it in there, and they would cook. It was kind of an underground oven, and they would make a cake, but it was a flat cake. It would have been equal to our pancake. It was a barley pancake. This soldier dreamed that a barley pancake rolls down a mountain into the valley and crushes a Midianite's tent. Gideon and his soldier, they're outside the tent listening to this dream as this guy wakes up his buddy, tells a dream. Gideon and his buddy, they're listening. Gideon was listening for a sign that would assure him of victory when he went to war, remembering he's outnumbered 300 to who knows how many, maybe 200 to 300,000 opponents. Then the enemy soldier said, I think that barley cake pictures Gideon and his army. And I think that crushed tent pictures me and you. I think we're in big trouble, buddy. Gideon said, aha, that's what I've been waiting for. So the enemy, they start spreading the word. This guy over here, he had a dream and the pancake's coming and we're all going to die from pancake poisoning. Really? So the word passes throughout the enemy. That's all Gideon needed. Gideon and his fellow spies, they both returned to their camp. 300 men, they walk in with boldness and courage. And the next thing you know, it's a surprise attack. The story concludes, and these 300 soldiers, they're getting ready to come down the mountain. And so you know the end of the story. Those 50,000 tentpoles, maybe 200,000 to 300,000 enemy, they are conquered. Here's how they did it. Each one of Gideon's soldiers was told to get a trumpet. 300 trumpets. Each one of Gideon's soldiers were told to get a pitcher, like a pitcher of sweet tea, that kind of a pitcher. Not a pitcher of your mother-in-law. Nobody needs that. Although that could beat up a lot of people. Every one of Gideon's soldiers has a trumpet. Every one of Gideon's soldiers have a ceramic pitcher. Every one of Gideon's soldiers had a lamp, a light. 300 trumpets, 300 pitchers, 300 lamps, no other weapons. When they made this surprise attack, the enemy was caught off guard. Now you gotta understand something about this era of battle and strategy and technique. There would be one trumpeter per many thousands of troops. There would be one person holding a lamp or a light for nighttime battle, but there would be one person that would hold a light for many thousands of troops, if you will. And when the surprise attack came, 300 men, and this is what happened. The Midianites looked up the mountain. All of a sudden, Gideon said, blow your trumpet. 300 trumpets. which to the enemy represented hundreds of thousands of enemy soldiers. Then they seen 300 lamps, and they uncovered their lamps, and the pitchers were broken. And when the lamps shone, remember, to the enemy, that signified hundreds of thousands of soldiers. And when they broke those pitchers, and that's what they did, they smashed these ceramic-type pitchers, it sounded like the clashing of armor. So these Midianites are in the valley. They're already half panicked about this pancake dream. All of a sudden they look up and there's 300 trumpets and 300 people holding lights and the clash of all the pitchers, and they're thinking, the pancake's coming! And they began to kill each other. You say, why? Well, in the panic, they began to kill each other. They didn't want to be taken captive. They could, of course, be tortured and maybe get information out of them. And the rest of them that didn't kill each other, they ran away. And Gideon's army wins the entire battle thanks to a pancake. A pancake. Now, I've seen wives who can make nasty pancakes that start a war, but I've never seen a pancake that ended a war. But that's what happened. A pancake that won a war. Now, folks, stay with me, if you will. Let me tell you a little bit about this, if I could. First of all, I want to talk to you about the pancake for a moment. Who would have ever thought that God would use a pancake to win a war? Now, it just goes to show you that God uses little things, and God uses little people to do great things. Oh, a pancake. Hey, God could have given them a different kind of a dream. Well, why did God choose a pancake dream? Why not the dream of, hey, how about this dream? I see a great cavalry, well-decorated, 5-star generals, beautiful uniforms, powerful cavalry, marvelous artillery, overwhelming defeat, advanced technology, historical events. God could have given that kind of a dream, but He didn't. He gave a dream about a pancake. A pancake. You know something? You and I, lowly human beings, we can be glad that God could use a pancake to defeat an army. You and I could be thankful that God uses little things and God uses little people. When God wins a battle, He so often uses some little shocking method. You say, why? Because God's just showing off His stuff. Hey, God can take something little and make something big out of it. God often uses an insignificant way to win a battle for Himself. Whoever won a war because of a pancake? God wanted us to see He has the power to take a little pancake and win a great victory. A little insignificant Gideon can win a great big battle, and I'm glad that's my God. I'm glad. You might say, but Owen, I stutter when I talk. So did Moses, but God used Moses in a great way. You say, well, Brother Owens, I'm not a strong person. God can use weak people. God is an amazing God. God so often does not use pretty boys or personality people. Instead, so often God uses farm boys, not pretty boys. Why? Because God gets the glory that way. God can use anybody He chooses, and if God can use a pancake to defeat an army of 200 to 300 people, don't you think God could use you and God could use me? God can use nobodies to do great things. You say, preacher, I'm timid. Hey, God can use timid people. You say, preacher, I'm weak. God can use weak people. God used a pancake. God chooses weak people to confound the wise. You know something? I think of churches. Often when you hear of a church that is doing great things, and you think of the magnificence, and you hear the stories, and you begin to think, oh, wow, I'll bet their pastor is some ex-NFL quarterback who posed for the GQ magazine, the Arnold Schwarzenegger of the pulpit. And then you get there and find out the pastor's nothing but an ugly pancake. Yeah, you know it. You'd think, well, pastor, you know, well, gotta be good looking and rich and blue-blooded and well-educated. Who's of you came to see? You said, come see our pastor. You got here and you went, gross. We want our honey back. But you know something? I'm nothing but a pancake.
Tell me, yeah, I'll tell you something. Tell you young people who want to serve God someday. Let me tell you something. You say, well, Brother Owens, I don't have everything that it seems like it takes to lead. I don't either. I'm just an old-fashioned country boy. I'm just a pancake. And I'm glad God uses pancakes. I'm really glad God used a donkey to help get Balaam right with God. God used a lad with five small loaves of bread and two fish to feed 5,000 people. God used spit and mud to restore sight to a blind man. I thank God for the day that I discovered God's promises were for plain old-fashioned, common, everyday Jeff Owens, the country boy. I used to think that the things of God, they were only for those great leaders and those people with a magnificent presence. And I used to think that you had to be a blue blood. And I thought, I'll never be able to do anything. I'll never get anywhere. I don't have all the right tools. But one day, I realized if God can use a pancake, God can use me. And I thank God for that. I'm a pancake. I'm not a truffle. Now, I'm eggs and bacon. I'm not a souffle. Hey, listen. I'm kind of a meat and potatoes kind of a guy. I'm not champagne and caviar. That's not me. Not at all. Listen to this. The Bible says in Isaiah 44, verse number 3, "For I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour my spirit out on thy seed." Let me tell you something. The Bible says here that God wants to use people. He said, "I will pour out my spirit on him that is thirsty." Not handsome. You know what? Anybody can get thirsty. It says, "I will pour out my spirit on him that is thirsty," not him that is brilliant. "I will pour out my spirit on him that is thirsty," not on him who is buff. Though I have some of that. Say, you got a 6-pack? I got a 12-pack at home. Coke. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6, it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." You know something? You don't have to be big. You've just got to be hungry for God. You don't have to be rich. You've just got to be hungry. You don't have to be good looking. Thank God for that, Brother Tennis. Say amen right there, buddy. You don't have to be good looking, you gotta be hungry. You don't have to be brilliant, you gotta be hungry. You don't have to have a lot of money. You gotta be thirsty, you gotta be hungry. God said I can use a pancake and do something great with it. That means me and you, the average, everyday, common meat and potatoes kind of people, we can do something great with our life with God's help. Elisha was bald, but God used him. God used that. What some might think, well, that's pancake material. Oh, God only puts marble tops on things of great value. Gideon was timid, a pancake, but God used him. Moses was tongue-tied, a pancake, but God used him. Peter was a very common man, earned his living as a fisherman, but God used him. Paul was a little man, a pancake, but God used him. God specializes in using little things. When I seen this story about the pancake, I said, boy, that is so interesting to me. God used a pancake. I don't know about the rest of you. I'm sure there are some blue bloods in here, and I'm sure there are some people, maybe you've got money, but you know me, I'm not a blue blood, I don't have a lot of money, I'm not real smart. I'm a pancake. And I'm glad God could use a pancake. Now let me tell you something more. Secondly, the pancake had something to do with the leading of God. Look at how Gideon got his victory here in this battle. He followed the leading of God. Others may not understand it, Christian. When you follow the leading of God, when you follow God's book, some won't understand it. I can guarantee you there were some that didn't quite understand the leading of God here. Hey, when God gives you the war plans from this old black book, follow them. When God gives you His spiritual strategy for your life, follow it. Follow it. When your lost or your carnal family members do not understand why you follow the game plan so carefully, you're just going to have to understand it. God wants us to follow His leading. Look at God's hand in this leading. Look at this story. God held in His hand the power to make this whole story come true. God leads Gideon and his sidekick to spy on that tent. God leads Gideon and his sidekick to go to that specific very tent. According to the story, they only went to one tent. 50,000 tents, God leads them to the very tent in which the dream had been given. God put a particular Midianite to sleep. God put a dream in that soldier's head about a pancake. God wakes that soldier up. That soldier wakes up his partner. That soldier, at the strategic moment when Gideon was right there, begins to tell the story. God had Gideon right outside the tent, the right tent. The dream included Gideon. The dream included the pancake. The dream included the crushing of the tent. Hey, God set it all up. Can I tell you something? You say, Brother Owens, I would like to have victory in my life. I'd like to have success in my life. Stay in the will of God. Stay right there. God's got some plans you don't even know about. Keep following God as He leads you through His Word. Don't lose your faith in God. Don't run off. Don't run scared. Yield yourself to God, then follow His Word. Gideon wanted God's leading. Do you? Do you? Trust God, and He'll meet your needs. God took care of Gideon. He'll also take care of you. What is the battle in your life right now? What battle are you in? And everybody in here is in some type of a battle. What battle is it that you're going through right now? Let God's Word lead you. In what war are you in and you feel like you're outnumbered? Oh, you know how it feels when you're outnumbered. Gideon was outnumbered, hey, probably 200,000, and he only had 300 soldiers. He was outnumbered. But Gideon, when he was outnumbered, he stuck with God. Why? Because you and God make a majority. How will you survive these difficult financial days? Follow God's book. Do what God says. God wants to lead us all to victories in our lives, but we're going to have to follow His instructional book. And listen to me on this. This dream story was placed in the Bible not to emphasize dreams. It's placed in the Bible to emphasize God's leading. We are led by His book. Your dreams, most of the dreams that people have are created by eating anchovies on their pizza, or they have that gas that's building up inside their body and it's affecting their brain. Pancake dreams can lie to you if you're not careful. This one's placed in the Bible strategically by God. You better be careful. So, well, I had a dream that I should move so-so and do so-so and go so-so. You better let the Bible lead you. You better let the Bible lead you. Pancake dreams can lie to you. I'll tell you how. Pancake syrup will lie to you. Have you ever noticed what they make a bottle of pancake syrup look like? Ladies, they come to you and they put these curves, you know. Little petite curves, got the curves in the right, all in the right places. Pancake. Let me tell you something. That bottle lies to you. Mrs. Butterworth tells you the truth. They try to convince you, if you eat that pancake syrup, you're going to look like that bottle, babe. I ain't seen anybody that's heavy on pancake that ain't heavy somewhere else. You're heavy on the syrup. You're going to be heavy somewhere else. And the only one that does better than Mrs. Butterworth is Walt Gavin. We're in the army of the Lord, and we're supposed to follow Him. This isn't in here. Some of you go off the deep end and say, well, I've been having all these dreams, and so I'm going to sell everything and start wearing red, white, and blue long underwear and all that. You better stop and realize something. God leads you through His Word. God leads you through His Word, and we are in the army of the Lord. Follow His strategy plan for your life. Come to church. That's God's command post. Listen to His courier, the Word of God, preached by the man of God. Hey, watch His war plan. Follow His war plan, the Bible. So you see, the pancake, what did it signify? God can use little things and little people. Secondly, we see the leading of God in this pancake. Thirdly, we see the confidence that God can give from a pancake. Gideon wanted to know that God was with him. Let me say this to everybody here. Everybody here. Listen, I wouldn't want to go through this life without knowing God was with me. I wouldn't. But hey, listen. Life has its toughest. Even when you're a born-again Christian, there are tough times that you have to face. But I'll tell you something. If you're trying to face them without God, boy, you are facing way too much burden. God can alleviate some of those burdens. If you're not saved here today, if you're not sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven, I would recommend that you get saved and get God on your side and start getting some help. This whole story gave Gideon the confidence, though, to go forward as a Christian. The fact that God uses little things, the fact that God uses little people, the fact that God's leading was in this, I think Gideon listened to the dream. When Gideon got back to his soldiers, he said, you know something? It's amazing. I see God's leading here. I see God using the pancake. I see God using little insignificant things. I think God can use this. And the fact that God will lead his people to victory if they will follow is a wonderful thing. That will bring confidence to me and to you. If we'll, I can make you a promise today. If you will obey the Word of God, He is right 100% of the time. God is right 100% of the time. Now, look, did you know that nobodies can have confidence in God? Little people can have confidence in God. Our confidence is in the Lord. Our confidence comes from the Lord. Hey, we're not talking about arrogance. We're talking about confidence. Why? Because God is right 100% of the time. We're not talking about sinful pride. I'm talking about a confidence because I know who my God is. I know what my God can do. I've seen it. I know what He can do. So I can step up and say, you know something? I'm sure 100% of the time God is right. I will follow His book. I will do what He says. I'm sure He'll be right. That's you and God making a majority. My confidence is not in Jeff Owens. My confidence is in the Lord. My confidence is not in you. And just so you know, my confidence is not in the election. I hope to God that we have the president that God wants us to have. But I'm going to tell you one thing. No matter who the president is, God will still be God. And I have confidence in my God. I know who's leading me into battle. And every soldier here will tell you, if the guy leading you doesn't have it together, who wants to follow? You may do it out of duty, but I've got news for you. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord, and I have total 100%, no questions asked, confidence in my God. I'm going to follow Him where He wants me to go. There's a confidence that comes from being close to God. My confidence is not in the economy. My confidence is in God. In God. That's where my confidence is. Let me give this to you. Speaking of pancakes. A mother was preparing pancakes for her sons, Kevin and Ryan. The boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake. The mother saw the opportunity for a moral lesson to be taught to her boys. She said, if Jesus were sitting here, He would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, all right, Ryan, you be Jesus. You listen to me. What a unique story. A story of a pancake that rolls down a mountain and crushes a tent. A dream that the dream has lessons. It's got the lesson for you and for I that God uses a pancake. And if God can use a pancake, God can use you and me, the common people of this life. We learn that the pancake, there is the following of the leading of God. We find that there is confidence that came in this leading from God and following God. Hey, victory from God came through a pancake. Wow, what a victory. What a victory we see here. God leads Gideon to enjoy an amazing victory. 300 soldiers overcome an army that was so big they couldn't even number it. You're talking about a historical, famous event. You know something, if you need a big victory in your life, can I tell you something that can help you to achieve it? God. God. Gideon was outnumbered. You say, preacher, somehow in life right now I feel emotionally outnumbered. God can give victory. You say, I feel like the chips are down. God can get the chips to go up. You say, I feel like I'm on the underside. God can put you on the top side. You say, I feel like I'm under the circumstances. God can put you on top of the circumstances. I've got a powerful God. I've got a God that gives victory. God gave Gideon personal victory here. Some of you need personal victory in your life. A battle God wants you to win. A battle maybe that nobody else knows about. God can provide that victory for you. God gives Gideon's followers victory here. Hey, leader, some of you need some victory in your life. Let me tell you, dads, you need some victory in your life. Why? You got your wife and you got the kids following you. Mom, your kids need to see victory in your life. Hey, Christian, God needs to see victory. I'll tell you, in this society today, it's doom and gloom and everybody's giving up and everybody's wearing out. Everybody's wanting to run and hide and the depression is everywhere. You happen to be looking at an old-fashioned, leather-lung, independent, fundamental Baptist preacher today. I'm happy. I'm alive. I love God. I love my country. I'm not giving up. I'm not turning back. I'm going to keep on going for God. And I'm going to be a happy Christian while I do it. Well, people need somebody with some victory about them. That's what we need. Let me tell you something. You remember, I don't know who's going to be sitting in the White House on Wednesday, but I can tell you who's sitting on God's throne today, tomorrow, and every day for the rest of eternity, and I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. You say, are you a Republican or a Democrat? I'm for a kingdom, and I've got a king that's going to come back someday, and he'll be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You say, you're all for energetic. I had my coffee this morning, thank you. Let me tell you something. God showed the heathen the victory. Can you imagine the people that must have heckled? Imagine the hecklers. If Gideon went back and said, let me tell you what's going to happen. The pancake's going to roll down the mountain and going to kill everybody. People said, you been drinking, Gideon? You been the mama's depression medicine there, Gideon? You're not thinking right. Ha ha! I'll tell you what. When the pancake defeated the Midianites, I think all the hecklers and all the people that mocked and all the people said, nah, 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 not going to happen. I think 300 men could go, our pancake just beat the snot out of the Midianites. Gideon's doubters saw victory. Christian, let me tell you something, and I mean this. People around us ought to see victory in our life. You better be careful. You know what it's like? There are those people, if you ask them how it's going, they may tell you, ooh, how you doing, man? It's so bad. If you're a Christian, we have victory. You had a victorious attitude. Hey, is it your plan to have victory? You know what happened here? Somebody was saved by a pancake. Saved by a pancake. May I say to you, the Bible teaches that Jesus is the bread of life. The Bible says in John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You know something, it takes food to stay physically alive. And if you want to live throughout eternity, it's going to take food to keep you alive. You say, what food? Jesus Christ, the bread of life. The Bible teaches that every human being that's ever been born is a sinner. You're a sinner and I'm a sinner, and there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is death and hell, separated from God for all eternity. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ paid that penalty through His death, His burial, and His resurrection. He made available to you and to me a thing called salvation. It is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can give all the money you want to the church and still die and go to hell. You could be a member of every church in the country and still die and go to hell. You could do good deeds from the time you get up to the time you go to bed every day for the rest of your life, but good deeds are not enough. Baptism's not enough. Church membership's not enough. You can say Hail Mary. You can do all those things, but if you've never come face to face with Jesus Christ, the Savior, realizing you're a sinner and there's a penalty for your sin, and if you've never realized that He died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you, you will die and go to hell. You have to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, I think after you get saved, you ought to do good deeds. I think after you get saved, you ought to get baptized. I think after you get saved, you ought to give all your money to me. But you better get saved. Those of you that have seen action in battle, every once in a while I come across somebody that said, I was in war where they're shooting with real bullets and people are really dying and God spared me. But let me tell you something. Being spared physically is not the same as being spared spiritually. Just because all of us are still alive by some divine intervention that God kept us alive, that does not save your soul. That saved your body. Why? God saved your body so you can hear an old-fashioned preacher tell you how to get your soul saved. Everybody's going to spend eternity somewhere. You're going to die and you're going to either go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And the whole difference is, have you ever received Jesus as Savior? You've either accepted Him or rejected Him. And my advice to you is that you accept Him. A pancake. A pancake. I wish he'd get saved. The Bible says in Psalm 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Our Jesus is the pancake that saves us. Oh, I seen the story. I looked at it. I said, that pancake is interesting there. There's a lot to be learned from the pancake that won a war. There's a war that rages right this moment. The war between Jesus and the devil. The devil would like for you not to be saved. And Jesus would like for you to be saved. I hope you'll trust Christ today. There is a real hell. There is a real heaven. And I don't know if I can convince you of this. But those of you that are our guests, I don't know all your names. But I've prayed for you. I've been on my face and I said, God, please, if they come, help them to know we're sincere. This is a real church. We're not playing. We're not trying to impress anybody. I even said, Lord, I'm going to tell them that I care about them and that I love them. And I hope somehow they'll believe me. To those of you that are visitors today, you don't know this preacher. Somehow it's almost as if I kind of know you, because before you came, I've met with God and I said, God, please, if they're not saved, help them to get saved. They're such good people. They've risked their lives. If anybody deserves to go to heaven, they do. They do. I hope if you've never trusted Christ, you will today. If you're here and you're a Christian, I hope somehow tucked inside the truth of the pancake, you can find some encouragement to go on for your God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.